Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. And joining me this morning, Cheryl Lulian Tan. She is a New York-based journalist and author of A Tiger in the Kitchen, a memoir of food and family. And also her new book is called Sarong Party Girls. Really interesting culture and book. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Well, first of all, background, because you're writing about Singaporean girls, really interesting. And what's interesting is that my son, who just spent 3 years in Hawaii, knows about the Sarong girls.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. They're spreading around the world.
They are.
Well, you know, Sarong party girls are a particular type of woman in Singapore. Their main goal in life is to meet an expat or a Caucasian man and marry, because to them they see that as a status symbol. You're sort of moving up in life. Mm-hmm. And so I've always found this kind of an interesting subculture and what it says about a society with many different races and you know, gender politics, racial politics, and you know, just what it says about modern Asian society in Singapore.
You know, as I was reading the book, I was like, oh my God, they have some of the same issues. You know,
mm-hmm.
they talk about bleaching their skin.
Yeah,
which is an amazing. I've seen documentaries on that. How you know, they even have that system in who's darker, and I'm just like, how can you tell? You know, but they can.
I know, and I guess, you know, part of the reason for writing about these issues so starkly in the book, but also arose out of the fact that, you know, a lot of people kind of looking at Singapore from a distance, they think mm-hmm. Singapore is kind of a perfect society in the sense that, you know, it's got strict laws, you know, it's got a lot of order, mm-hmm. and you know, it has this shiny veneer of being a bustling economy, et cetera, population that gets along. And, you know, Singaporeans very often say, oh, you know, we don't talk about race here. Everyone just gets along. But, you know, you sort of pull back the curtain a little bit. And, of mm-hmm. course, you know, like just beneath the surface, there's always all these things that people don't really talk about. But, you know, that sort of happen, of attitudes are shaped in this way.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. There's a huge caste system there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that is just, it is, you know, mm-hmm. nobody really talks about it. It just is. And, but what was interesting too, was the language, how you wrote it in that mm-hmm. language. And at first it was a little difficult, but as I got used to the law and the, and the atas and the, all of that kind of stuff, the language and how you wrote things. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? Let me switch the words up. Okay. Confirm this.
Yeah.
And it was really, so talk about that for a moment.
Yeah. Well, Singlish is sort of the local patois of Singapore. Singapore was a British colony for many years, so English is actually our first language, and
mm-hmm.
It's the language that we all speak to one another. But we're supposed to speak proper Queen's English, not Singlish. But Singlish is what you speak with your, you know, with your aunties or your friends, mm-hmm. or like, you know, when you're buying fish at the market. It's a mix of English, Chinese, and Malay with some Chinese dialects thrown in, and we use the law a lot for emphasis. And you know, it's just a sort of a very musical, very colorful language, and I've always loved it. And it's a language that I miss because it's so much a part of our national identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to kind of bring this to life in the book. And, you know, the main character, Jazzy, is someone who wouldn't be speaking proper Queen's English. She would be speaking Singlish all the time. So it didn't make sense for me to have her voice being Queen's English or American English.
Mm-hmm.
It really had to be in Singlish. So that's how this book sort of came about that way.
You know, Jazzy is a bit of a rebel. To me, I felt like she just rebelled against everything, and she was a bit of a rebel.
Yeah. She, you know, she's 26, about to turn 27, and she's grown up in the society that is very modern in many ways, but it's still incredibly, very incredibly traditional in a lot of ways, and also patriarchal. And so she's fighting against that a little bit. And so she looks at her mother's life and her parents' life, and, you know, and she's like, I don't want that life for myself. Like, I'm going to create a new one.
Right.
And so that's what starts her on this track of being a sarong party girl, because she says, you know, I don't want to live the life that my mother had. They want me to marry a good Singaporean boy, but, you know, I want to make a different life. And so she goes all out to try to find an expat guy who can, you know, she can make a good marriage to, and, you know, just sort of move up in life.
You know,
so
Cheryl,
she is rebelling against society and her parents.
Oh, yeah. Something else that was really striking to me was the ageism, and that, you know, on her job. And when she was talking about you know, after 22, after 23, you're old. And, you know, I'm just like, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in it's definitely the case, especially with marriage, you know, that you're really supposed to be married as a woman by your, you know, mid to late 20s. Now that's sort of changed a little bit because women tend to be more focused on their careers more than before. Right. But, you know, my parents were even started nudging me to get married when I was, you know, 25 or to think about it, you know, to be on that path. So so it really is, you really sort of have to think about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so she's rebelling against that, but she also acknowledges that it's about time, and but she wants to make just the right marriage.
Right.
And so she hatches this plan to go about this the right way according to her girlfriend.
So talk about the difference in the Ah Bang and the Ang Mo. I think that's what I'm saying the part wrong, but
So the ultimate goal for her is to get an Ang Mo husband, which is Ang Mo basically means red hair. And it refers to Caucasian men.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically she's on this quest to get an Ang Mo husband. The ultimate goal is to get a Chanel baby, which is actually a term that I heard one of my friends use in Singapore. And I immediately wrote it down. And I said, this has to be in a book someday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Singapore is a very modern society, very materialistic in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Status symbols are very important, you know, Prada, Chanel, et cetera.
Yes.
So, if you've managed to marry that white guy and have a half Singaporean, half Caucasian baby, mm-hmm. it is the Chanel of babies.
Well, and you know what was so funny? Around the end of the book, when all the girls got together with Shira and Kiara, and Kiara brought her Chanel baby.
Yeah.
And Jazzy said, oh, he's got black hair like Singapore. And it was like bad luck. You couldn't say that. I was like, really? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was so funny.
Yeah. But, you know, it's their, you know, once they feel they've managed to make it to the next level, you don't want to be reminded of where you
mm-hmm.
came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very universal thing. I mean, it's sad when that happens to see that happen, but, you know, you see it happen everywhere. You see it happen in the States, certainly, and other places in Asia as well.
So she and her girlfriends, Emo and Fan, in their mm-hmm. quest to find, you know, the white guy, expat, somebody who's going to treat him good, as long as he wasn't Singaporean or Chinese mm-hmm. or, you know, Japanese. It had to be mm-hmm. American or British, I think. Brits mm-hmm. were okay for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
It was interesting, them in the nightclubs and, you know, just that whole scene looking for Mr. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And a particular kind of Mr. Right, mm-hmm. too. But I think, you know, a lot of that goal, their quest, was also fueled by wanting to sort of to live life on their own terms in a patriarchal society,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and sort of going, you know, this is, you know, it's hard to be, it can be hard to be a woman in modern Asia because societies are still a little patriarchal. You're expected to fulfill a certain role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either the Madonna or the whore, you know, and so it's, you know, and so she says, you know, I want none of that. I don't want to be a part of this patriarchal fabric,
mm-hmm.
and I want to try something new. And so in a way, you know, on the one level, it's, you know, based on race and nationality, et cetera, but it's also, as you said, you know, she's rebelling against this sort of very traditional patriarchal system that she doesn't like and she wants to fight against.
Well, even her best friend, Cher, you know, she married traditional and she felt like she was a sellout.
Yeah. But I think, you know, to Jazzy, she's a sellout at the beginning, you know, and I don't want to give anything away,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, as the book grows, you know, so do the characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so she used the word for herself, Gunyang?
Yeah, Gunyang. It basically means woman or lady.
Oh, okay, because she kept referring to herself to that, and I'm saying, okay, what does that mean?
So it's sort of like when people refer to themselves as girl, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, she's sort of like, it's her way of going, you know, this woman here won't do this.
Right.
You know, she's referring to herself.
Right,
so, and Gunyang in Singapore is sort of used, I mean, it used to be used to refer to women who were sort of very, like, ladies. They were
mm-hmm.
gentle and soft-spoken
mm-hmm.
and very pretty. But, you know, in modern terms, like, she's using it as in an ironic way, you know, just sort of in a tough kind of way. Like, you know, Gunyang here is not going to settle for
that,
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think that what was so difficult, and you really make the juxtaposition in the book of, you know, the nightlife and what they're doing, and then the life she's living at home with her parents. And, mm-hmm. and you talked about this in the beginning, but not wanting to be like her mother, not going to the wet market. And the scene where she's in the market with her mother and they're all cleaning up, and she says there's like this wet pink water washing over their feet, yeah. and all mm-hmm. of that. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, she is so like, I am not doing this. I'm not living this life. But I thought, you know, her mother is a bit of a nag, and I guess maybe that's how it is. She's always going to lecture her about something. And you never really, you heard the dad's voice through the mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and I think that really is the case sometimes with certainly the Asian parenting I saw when I was growing up in mm-hmm. Singapore, that, you know, the dads were working and the mother always sort of managed the household and relayed all the messages and sort of kept the kids in line. You know, but she really has kind of looked at that life and looked at her mother's life and said, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And so this whole quest is all about trying to not live the life of her mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that again is another mm-hmm. very universal sentiment that you mm-hmm. see all over. You know, mm-hmm. people want to, you know, daughters want to live, they envision a different future for themselves than their mothers had. And for her, she feels, you know, she incorrectly, I think, thinks she's not that smart. I think she's very smart. Right. But, you know, she knows she's not going to be a doctor or a lawyer. She can't pull herself up that way. So she's going to try and pull herself up through marriage.
Well, even her boss said that. Her boss said, you're very smart. You know, mm-hmm. What do you want to do with your life? He was trying to nudge her. What do you want to do with your life?
Yeah. And, you know, so this book is really about sort of, you know, self-actualization mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, it's a real coming of age story in a way.
True.
And she, you know, she goes through a lot in the book and she learns a lot of lessons. Mm-hmm. So I don't mm-hmm. know. Yeah. But
yeah.
it's I wanted to really kind of show a very intimate story, a very intimate view of, you know, what one girl's life might be like
wow.
in a very modern society. Mm-hmm. You know, people think of Singapore as just this sort of shiny, you know, wealthy place
ooh,
with like $26,000
right.
cocktails,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, and that's true. But, you know, there's a lot of other layers, you know, down below that.
Absolutely.
And so I really wanted to tell that story.
Very human story, you know, that says it's, you know, like you see other cities and you think they're so beautiful, but people actually live there. They're humans that
yeah.
live there, you know, with life going on. And I also thought at the end of the book, now I think she's about 27, in mm-hmm. real life in Singapore, is that an mm-hmm. old maid?
Not these days, certainly.
Okay.
But, you know, parents do want you to start settling down at around that age, mm-hmm. Certainly before 30. So they start nagging you around then. but, you know, the kids these days,
mm-hmm.
you know, they go, you know, the career is important. You know, they're marrying later and later. It's the same trend all over the world. You know, so, but parents, of course, will, you know, they want the grandkids and they want
yes.
you to get married early. So you're having kids early, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So you do sort of still have that sort of traditional expectation.
It was a great book. I tell you, you went to the modern and the traditional at the same time. And we watched this girl walk between both of those lives, you know, just trying to find herself. So it was really, really a great book. And it still happens today because I'm telling you, my son, who's 26, he said, yeah, they talk about Chanel babies. And we just cracked up. I said, I'm actually reading a book about that right now. So it was really interesting to have
so
his
funny.
Perspective. Yeah.
Well,
he
you'll
says
have to
that's
send
going
him the
on
book.
There. That's going on right there, right in Hawaii right now.
Mm-hmm. How funny. Well, I hope he enjoys the book as well.
I hope so, too. He's on his way to Australia, so I packed it in some of his stuff that I sent over so he can read it.
Oh, great. Well, if he's stopping over in Singapore, he can see SPGs alive and well in Singapore.
Absolutely. He was there for a while. He's in the military, so he was there for a while. He saw that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he knows exactly. I think he'll understand the book a little bit more.
He does. He was telling me about it before I read it, and I was like, okay. And when I read it, I said, you're exactly right. It's a really, really great book. Really great book. Cheryl Lou Lien Tan is the author. The name of the book is Sarong Party Girls. You've got to read it. It's a great read. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.